a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning, KSL News Time, 6:30.
KSL's top story this hour.
Police have a man in custody after multiple hidden cameras were found in a University of Utah bathroom.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small joins us live with the details. Adam?
Yeah, Amanda, two cameras and potential evidence of a third were found in multiple bathrooms on all three levels of the campus Student Life Center. Center Director John McDonald says someone found the first camera taped under a sink yesterday and turned it into the front desk. They called campus police and they found a second camera. After reviewing footage from one of the cameras and surveillance footage, University of Utah police say they've arrested Frederick William White. New charging documents say White stole a co-worker's ID to get a gym pass, claiming he was a graduate. He's been booked on suspicion of voyeurism and identity fraud. Reporting live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
The suspected Orem Access apartment killer has turned himself in after two people were shot just a couple of weeks ago. KSL News Radio's Allie Litzinger joins us live with more. Allie?
Tim, according to police, Joseph Richard Vandermeet is now being booked on suspicion of two accounts of attempted murder and one account of obstruction of justice. Back on November 20th, Orem police were called to the Axis apartments on reports of gunshots. A victim had a gunshot wound to the stomach and another had a bruise on his leg as his phone stopped the bullet. The suspect fled the scene, but police got two anonymous tips confirming his identity that was caught on apartment cameras, one of them being his friend. Of the witnesses, one of the witnesses said that Vandermeet ditched the gun nearby under a pile of rocks that was later found by officers. He turned himself in yesterday and was booked. It's being requested he's being held without bail. Reporting live, Allie Litzinger, KSL News Radio.
KSL weather with Kristen Van Dyke. Here comes another storm.
The active storm cycle continues. Another storm on the way. Today we get the clouds and the wind. Then tonight the snow develops and it lingers into Friday morning, and it is looking like the timing is going to mean another issue for your Friday morning. Snow showers will linger through late morning, but will start to move out by afternoon, and then highs on Friday only in the middle 30s. And we have another storm set to move in on Sunday that lingers into that Monday morning commute.
Kristen says temperatures will be a little warmer for that Sunday into Monday storm, so we may see a little rain mixed with the snow.
Speaking of snow, November was a pretty good month for it, and Utah's snowpack were at about 150% of normal at this moment. But Utah Snow Survey Supervisor Jordan Clayton says we need a lot more snow in the mountains this winter.
We've got about 4 months to go until we get to our typical peak snowpack around April 1st. And we need about four times the snow that we have on the ground right now. So it's kind of like two fours. We need about four times what we've got literally in our mountains right now, and we've got about 4 months to get there.
He says we will need to get a lot more snow than normal in the mountains this winter if we want to start refilling the reservoirs.
Governor Spencer Cox has released a new state water action plan. KSL News Radio's Mark Jackson reports it's a multi-layered plan that includes education and upgrades for aging infrastructure.
The plan is a collaboration between the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget, the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Environmental Quality, and the Department of Agriculture and Food that includes upgrading aging facilities, coordinated efforts to increase water use efficiency, and understanding of the critical thresholds impacting the Great Salt Lake and its tributaries, the Colorado River.
The plan is designed to make sure we have enough water when Utah's population reaches an estimated 5 million people by the year 2050.
KSL's top national stories this hour. Congress scrambling to fast-track a deal to keep the nation's trains moving.
The Senate expected to vote today to force rail workers to accept a tentative deal and avoid a strike. Under the Constitution, Congress has the power to intervene in matters regarding interstate commerce and the national economy. So Wednesday, the House took the first steps, passing two bills. The first preventing a strike forcing workers to accept a tentative deal reached earlier this year, averting a shutdown that could cost the economy up to $2 billion a day, disrupt travel for millions, and send inflation even higher. The second bill gives 7 days of paid sick leave for rail workers. It passed with the support of just three Republicans. In the Senate, the margins could be even slimmer.
That's ABC's Alish Perche reporting from Washington.
First look traffic now, and over to you, Andy.
Amanda, the only issues we've had so far this morning have been down in the Payson area. I'm looking at a crash on the northbound side on the right shoulder. They've got just some flashing lights, people moving past it. There was a little bit of a southbound delay in Payson earlier, but that's cleared out. Don't see any issues, though. The rest of the freeway drive, Ogden to Salt Lake to Provo. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time, 6:35.
Questions are mounting in Moscow, Idaho, where four University of Idaho students were murdered in their sleep 2.5 weeks ago. Police have publicly announced little progress in the case.
Police in Moscow, Idaho, are refusing to reveal any of the evidence or leads that they have or don't have, and the lack of information has frustrated some in the community and the victims' families. The father of one victim wants to know if his daughter was targeted. Police Chief James Fry, sitting down one-on-one with ABC News, is refusing to answer that or much else about the case, saying this to the families.
We are continuing our investigation, and they just need to hopefully trust that.
But it's been over 2 weeks, and there is no suspect, no motive, and no murder weapon. The chief says his team is doing a phenomenal job. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The former CEO of the now bankrupt cryptocurrency company FTX and Alameda Research says he was ultimately responsible for the downfall of the companies.
How do you explain the failure? Was it inattention, arrogance?
It's a good question.
Was it unethical?
I spent a lot of time trying to think about that.
Sam Bankman-Fried sat down with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, and he denies that he knew that there was any improper use of customer funds.
Two of Hawaii's largest volcanoes are erupting simultaneously. Mauna Loa, the world's largest active volcano, erupted for the first time in decades on Sunday night. Nearby Kilauea has been erupting for the past year. Lead scientist at the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory, Ken Han, says they're keeping an eye on two new lava flows that formed on Mauna Loa.
This is like 10 of the biggest dump trucks you can get every second dumping lava out, right? This is a little bit less than the 2018 flows, which were around 150 cubic meters per second, or 150 cubic yards per second. But it's still a very, very large amount of lava out here.
Always have to remind ourselves that's how these islands were formed, right?
Yeah.
But now there's people living there. Han says the new flows are about 3 miles from Saddle Road, which connects the east and west sides of the island.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.